You would turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Bible says in verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this privilege of standing behind this sacred desk, Lord, and come to you today. Lord, I come to you in prayer, Lord, begging you for your help today, Lord. I'm nobody without your help today, God. I can't do this alone, God. I need your presence on me, God. I ask you to give me the words, Lord. You know I've studied this stuff, God, and I ask you to help me. Lord, bring it back to my memory, Lord. Bring it back what I've studied, God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, God. You'd lead, guide, and direct me now for just a little while, God. I thank you for your presence in the service, God, and I ask for your help for just a little while, God. Use this service, God. Touch one that may be here lost. Touch the one that may be backslidden or whatever their need is, God. Pray that you'd have your will and way, Lord. Help us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We'll endeavor to preach a message today on Adam. As I started looking at this, the Lord laid on my heart a message on the penalty of sin. And I think sin's not preached enough in the average Baptist church. That's why we've got a lot of trouble today. Sin is not preached enough on. But God laid on my heart this story right here, and a message entitled "The Penalty of Sin." And I just want to preach on that for just a little while. But I want to give you some background information. Adam was created first. Adam was the first man ever created put on this earth. And Adam, he took a rib out of Adam and made Eve. And then their duties was to take care of this garden. They were to trim the leaves and branches. They were to rake leaves. They were to gather fruit. They were just to tend to this garden. But God told them, he said, "There's one tree I don't want you to eat of." He said, "There's one tree, and it's the knowledge of good and evil that I don't want you to eat of. And I don't care what children's book says. It wasn't an apple tree. It wasn't a pear tree. It was a tree that was one of a kind." God says that down here in the verses of Scripture in verse number 6. It was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. My own imagination, that's just like sin. Sin is pleasant to the eye. Sin is something that we look on. In our sinful, wicked flesh, we desire the things of the world. We look on things and it's desirable to our flesh. We have to catch ourselves because those things God said do not do. Those things God said do not partake of. And I imagine this tree was so beautiful. And they kept walking by this tree every day, no doubt. And their curiosity wanted to, they got them to where they wanted to start taking of this fruit. No doubt curiosity gets some of us every now and then. We get into the midst of hanging around certain types of sin. We start hanging around it and we start trying to accept the fact of it. Hey, never accept the fact of sin and what it can do to one's life. Never get around it. Try to stay away from sin. You say, why? Because when you get used to it, when you accept the fact that somebody around you is doing it, you ain't got a problem with it. Curiosity will get you too. You'll want to partake of a little something like that. You want to partake of it and it'll get you into trouble. It will hinder you because the devil's out there looking for each one of you to ruin your testimony, to ruin your Christian life. He's out there looking to ruin everything God's ever done for you. You need to stay away from it. Curiosity will get a hold of you if you're not careful. But I want to see here the fact that the serpent, he starts talking to Eve in the garden, starts telling them, you know what good this fruit's going to do to you. That always brought to mind the serpent as the type of the devil. The serpent is the type of the devil here, trying to get us to give in to temptation. You say, well, how is this a type of the devil? First of all, it's a small thing. A serpent is something that's small compared to our length of the body and compared to that thing. It's a small thing, but when it comes by, it can do great harm. If we're not careful, we'll just, as I know, as you ever walk through and you've seen a snake or a serpent, you walk through and you just about don't see it. Do you step on it? That's about the way the devil is. You'll think he's nowhere to be found, but by the time you about step on him, he'll come up in the mist and bite you. He'll come up in the mist and throw something in front of your eyes, and you'll say, oh my, and yeah, you're right, because you've done went too far. The serpent's out there trying to get you. The serpent's out there. And also when the serpent comes, when God shows up, the serpent or the devil runs from it. And that's just like the devil. When God shows up, when you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That's just like the serpent. But also the serpent is poisonous and deadly. When he bites, he's got a poison. He puts something in you that's poisonous and deadly. And that's just the way sin is. It's poisonous. Once he gets a hold of you, it's poisonous and it's deadly. If you're not careful, you'll die because of it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's true. And I want to look at something else real quick. And I want to start out by saying this. My first point is don't hang around sin. Don't hang around sin. When God told them not to take of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, the best thing they could do is stay 100 yards away from it. Because if you're not careful, you hang around it, it'll get you into trouble. Adam knew that this tree was wrong. And Eve knew that you're not to take of this fruit of this tree. No doubt Adam knew what was going on the whole time. Eve was over there talking to the serpent. Adam was standing back here and knew what was going on. But because he was hanging around, it was easy to walk up and take of that fruit too. Let me tell you today, you need to watch who your kids hang out with. You need to watch who you hang out with. And as an individual, you say, well, I'm a grown up, or I'm at the age where I think I can tell the difference. You better be careful. It's desirable to the flesh to take part in things of that nature. And if you're not careful, you don't watch who you hang around with, you'll be partaking of things you never thought you would. You'll look down the road and say, I'll never do that. But if you're not careful, you hang around it. You see your friends doing it. You see people doing it nearby to you. The next thing you know, you'll take part of it too. You got to be careful who you hang around with. Parents, don't let your kids hang around people. If they ain't got a good reputation that you know of, your kid ain't got no business hanging around them either. If your kid, listen to me for just a second. Parents, you're the same way. You got friends. Be careful who you hang around with. If you're not careful, you say, well, I'm old enough now. It doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. You've got a testimony. You've got a witness to keep. Watch who you hang around with. They got the reputation as an adulterer or fornicator or a liar or a thief or whatever, whatever their reputation is. If they've got a bad reputation, you need to stay away from them. It's good to tell them about Jesus. You don't need to be mean to them or stick your nose up in the air. But I'm saying you don't need to hang out with them. You don't need to take part in the things they take part in. Hey, let me just say now, you got to watch sin. You got to watch the people you hang around with, because the flesh does desire to sin. But let me say here also, there's a penalty of the sin. Penalty for sin. Thank God, God paid for our sin. But God said, but there is a penalty. We look a lot of times and we say God's a God of mercy and grace. And amen, I believe that too. But there's a side of God you don't want to mess with. God says people need to fear Him. And it is He is to be feared. Because He said the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23. Let me tell you, there is a penalty for sin. You say, I don't see how. Let me show you here the penalty for sin for Adam and Eve. You and I are still paying for it today. You say, what is that? Because we live in this sinful, wicked flesh. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we now have the flesh, as Brother Mayo was talking about a while ago, that now will die, born dead spiritually and physically. But thank God we don't have to stay that way. But I say their sin does have a penalty and a price to pay. I know we've paid for sin before. There's things we pay for. Nobody's perfect. I understand that. But there is a penalty of sin. If there wasn't, God wouldn't have said not to take of it. When God says don't do something, don't do it, because there is a penalty. There is a penalty for sin that we will all have to pay for. And we're all dead in our trespasses and sin. We're all of the sinful nature. But hey, there was a price that had to be paid. And that's why we're of that nature now. But I want to look down and look in verse 21. Look in verse number 21. After God goes through the Genesis chapter number 3, He tells of what's going to happen now. But it says back up, I take it back, look back up into verse number 10. It says, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Talking about they clothed fig leaves together. They hid their nakedness because they now had the knowledge of good and evil. If you look on down, look in verse number 21. It says, and to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. That's a picture and type of salvation. You say, how is it? Because guess who killed them animals? God did. Guess who skinned those animals? God did. Guess who clothed them? God did. Let me tell you today, thank God one day as a 6 or 7 year old boy, God came by my way and covered me. He covered me by that blood that was shed on Calvary's hill. You say, I don't understand what you're talking about. Just as the same way God clothed them, God covered them this day in the book of Genesis. God came by my way as a young boy and covered me by the blood. And I'm so thankful that God will cover you by the blood. Because of the blood that is shed on Calvary's hill, you don't have to die in your sins. You don't have to die in your iniquity because of a gracious and merciful God. Hey, this shows a picture of salvation by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's what these coats of skin was. It was a gift of God, and that salvation. We no longer have to live in that flesh. We no longer have to live as far as being dead in our trespasses and sin and being dead spiritually and physically, because God will cover us by His amazing, precious blood that He shed one day. And I say today, if you haven't been covered by the blood, if you haven't been saved today, if God's coming by your way, drawing you under Holy Ghost conviction today, hey, just give in. You say, well, I don't understand. Hey, no man cometh unto the Father, or no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. It has to come by conviction. God will come by your way and draw you unto Holy Ghost conviction. Hey, there's no conversion without conviction. Hey, you ain't been saved if you just walked down an aisle, signed a piece of paper, and God never came by your way, showed you you was a sinner, lost and on your way to hell. I dare say you don't have the real thing. There takes a time where God pricks your heart, shows you you're a sinner, lost, and then there's opportunity for you to be saved. God never promised how many times He'd do that. God's pricking at your heart today, I beg you. Don't turn Him away. Don't turn Him away, because there is a real hell. There is a real heaven. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Thank God. I'm so thankful that God didn't pass me by that day. So thankful God drew me unto Holy Ghost conviction that day. Show me I was a sinner on my way to hell. Show me His love and His mercy and His grace that He had for me. And thank God I accepted Him that day as my personal Lord and Savior. It's all by God. It's all by His merciful. It's all by His mercy and grace that I'm standing here today preaching. But I want to tell you today, there's a penalty of sin. If you're not saved, the penalty is hell. If you're not saved and you reject God, that penalty is hell. You'll burn in an eternal, everlasting hell. I'm not interested in Hollywood salvation and trying to get you down to the altar, scare you to death. But I say today, if it does scare you, if you are scared and God's dealing with your heart, there's a reason. Because you may be on your way to that devil's hell today. But I say, thank God you don't have to go there. There is another way. There is a gift, a free gift. All you got to do is, as Romans 10:9 says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And thank God we can be saved. If God's drawing your heart today, all you got to do is ask Him into your heart to save you. Repent and believe. It takes the faith of God. It takes the faith in God. But I say today, there's a penalty for sin. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know how your life is. I don't know if you're backslidden. I don't know what the need of your heart and soul is. But if God's dealing with your heart today, there's a reason He's dealing with your heart. It's good to listen. If we have sin in our life that's unconfessed, hey, our relationship with God is severed. We have stuff in our life that doesn't need to be there, our relationship can't be all it needs to be for God. And I say today, we need to confess that sin. But God said He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have stuff in our life. We need to get it right with God. We need to get our lives the way it needs to be. We need to get our lives in order, our houses in order. We need to get everything in order with God. We need to get where we need to be with God. If you've ever been at a closer time than you are now with God, you're backslidden. You're backslidden if you've ever been closer to God at a time than you are now. And I say we need to be growing. We need to be growing. God says you need to grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom to the time He comes to take you out of here. Let me say today, hey, we need to get everything, all the sin out of our life. We need to confess it. We need to get right and we need to repent. We need to repent from those things and turn away from them. But there is a penalty to pay for sin. Next time the devil comes by your way, You say, well, it's okay. If I partake of this, I can just ask for forgiveness. I agree, but there's a penalty for sin. It's not okay to just go on about everything like you want to. There is a penalty that all men must pay. Let me say today, be careful. The devil tries to get you more and more. The closer you get to God, the closer you try to walk with God. The more closer the devil tries to walk to you, the more closer the devil's behind you trying to beat you down. He's on your back trying to beat you as hard as he can. Let me say, just keep going on. Press toward the high calling of God. Because it won't be very long, as Brother Mayo said a while ago, that God's going to come back and get us. We don't have to worry about this sinful, wicked body anymore. We'll be in heaven with everybody. All the saved ones that's called on God as their personal Lord and Savior. And I say today, if you don't know God, tonight's a fine time to get in. And let me say tonight, there is a penalty for sin that all people must pay. And let me just warn you, beware of the devil. The devil's out to do everything he can. And we're nowhere near perfect. I'm not saying you will be. But we need to strive to be as Christ. We're to strive to be as perfect as we can possibly be. We need to try to be that. And let me say tonight, we need to try to do sin as less as we possibly can. And there is a penalty we'll pay if we do. But I thank God that he paid for my sins on Calvary's Hill, past, present, and future. And I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God for what he's done in this past year. And I thank God for what he's going to do in the next year if we're still here. And I just want to tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you can come to know God tonight. If you got things in your life that don't need to be there, there's an altar waiting to confess it and get the things right. And I invite you now, as Preacher Stewart comes for the invitation or whatever he wants to do, I say tonight that sin does have a price to pay. There is a penalty that all men must pay. And the wages of sin is death, is what the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.